The bribery scandal rocking the academic world is in some respects connected to college sports. Federal prosecutors charged 50 people this week, including some parents who paid for someone else to take their children's college application tests for them or fake their sports credentials. They did this to get their children into some of the elite schools around the country. The children were not star athletes, and in some cases they had no experience in the sports they were supposedly recruited to play. Another posed as a recruit for a team that didn't even exist. Mike Pesca is Here and Now sports analyst. He joins us now. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
So there have always been scandals in recruiting athletes to play sports, but these scandals actually involve kids who are good at their sports, sometimes the best in the country as high school athletes. You watch this world, so what do you make of the sports scandals linked to this case?
Yeah, usually the better you are at a sport, the more they want you to help their school. So what this scandal does, and it may be confusing to people who haven't been following it, there are two elements to it, and one was just straight up cheating on the SAT by bribing proctors, fairly straightforward, and that would be the analogy to a bank steals your money, a bank holds your money, and you know that a robber might steal it, so you have guards against it. The other part of the scandal is that coaches at universities get not free range to let kids in, but great latitude. And they could let applicants in. They're called the phrase with inside colleges is the hooked up kids or the hooked kids. So child of donors, children of VIPs, certain kind of people that they want in the school for specific needs. But athletes get this extra boost. And the coaches are pretty much allowed to decide who qualifies for this extra boost. And because of that, some of these college coaches, it is alleged by the indictment, were just bribed. They said kids who, in many cases, actually in all cases, didn't even play the sport that they were the coach of, should get this extra boost. And in many cases, the kids got into the school. So back to my bank analogy, that is like, you know the bank can be robbed. This is like the inside job. There is a teller who is stealing from you, and you're not even aware that a teller, you know, might be motivated to pull this crime.
So the kids might have gotten in because they supposedly excelled at some sport, but then once they got to the school, they never had to play the sport?
No, that's right. In fact, you know, some of these kids were sold as pole vaulters, and it's doubtful they ever vaulted on a pole. In one case, and Stanford didn't let this kid in, it was kind of hilarious slash tragic. The bribe was, we'll get your kid in as a football player, and then the person who was actually giving information to the government did a little research and said, here's a problem. Your son's high school doesn't even have a football team. And their workaround is, we'll say he's a kicker who kicks privately and has a private coach.
So coaches and athletic departments, officials there have been indicted. How are the schools themselves responding?
Yeah, well, there's a variety of responses. For instance, Yale's women's soccer coach, he already left the school. He left in November of 2018. And Yale put out a statement that says, as the indictment makes clear, the Department of Justice believes that Yale has been the victim of a crime perpetrated by its former women's soccer coach. I thought that was interesting. It's not entirely wrong. Whereas Stanford fired their sailing coach, and they issued a lengthy reply on what they were emphasizing is that his actions were against the values of Stanford, but they emphasize, however, one student was denied admission and intended to reapply, but didn't. The second never completed the application. So Stanford was doing what it can to distance itself. Different schools had different reactions, but mostly they're claiming to be the victims, victimized by their own coaches. It should be said, who set up the system that allowed coaches such latitude? And even further, if we want to zoom out, why is it that colleges are so prioritizing athletes? That seems like a bigger conversation than America is eager to have.
Is it also a conversation about big time college sports like football or basketball, the big money makers with the TV contracts, and the sports that don't generate a lot of revenue, such as lacrosse or water polo?
You know, in a way, it isn't. For years, when I worked for NPR, I would cover college sports. And the tension was there were some kids who were playing sports and they were returning so much money to their schools. Like, we'll watch the NCAA tournament and this is worth billions in television fees. And a kid like Zion Williamson, who plays for Duke, should be, you know, probably paid $5 or $10 million given the amount of money he's returning to Duke. And he's paid nothing. And that's where the conversation ended. And it's a fraught conversation. But why not just talk about why among all the extracurricular activities, and there's reasons, there's historical reasons, but why are athletes so prized in this way that an oboist isn't, that the editor of a school newspaper isn't, or a debater isn't? And it has something to do with the amount of money that sports generates. It has something to do with the perception that alumni will donate for sports. And it has something to do with just inertia. This is the way it is. And Derek Bach, who's a former president of Harvard, makes the case that if athletes didn't have these priorities, what you'd get is more deserving students being admitted to better schools. Not to say that accomplishment in the field of athletics isn't an accomplishment. It just shouldn't be so much more prized an accomplishment than these other pursuits, often other more academic pursuits.
Mike Pesca, Here and Now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thank you.
You're welcome.